This is week two of our sermon series, Erosion, and last week we talked about this house, and you can see that sometimes you can build the house, but if that foundation is not secure, it starts to take a tumble. And don't worry, this house is in Texas, or was in Texas. Beautiful, beautiful outlook on life. Only problem was the limestone underneath it caved in. And so today we're going to go on, and we talked about what is truth last week. We're going to build on that this week, but first we need to make sure that our faith is secure and what we do here is secure. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, this is going to be a tricky one. Lord God, Satan's going to throw everything he has. He's going to try to make the electronics not work. He's going to try to make the music not work today in order to get your people to not focus on your word. Lord God, help us out this morning. Help us out, and Lord God, by your hand, may everything run securely, smoothly. Lord God, may we also be able to pronounce your word as truth. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to talk about when science and faith collide. When science and faith collide. And why do I say science and faith collide? Is because what we see now is this idea that if you are a person of faith, you cannot take that and look at science the same. And so it's almost like there's a religion of science and a religion of faith nowadays. And so I say this, let me give you my background. I grew up as a pastor's kid, Lutheran pastor's kid. So all my life, all I've known is Lutheran theology, all right? I went to a Lutheran school all the way to up to eighth grade, and the defining moment in my life in that process is eighth grade. Everyone wrote down on a small piece of paper how old the earth was. And everybody else wrote about 6 to 10,000 years. You know what the pastor's kid wrote? 200 million years old. I was laughed at. And I didn't understand why, because I had been watching PBS for my entire life, learning about the world through PBS. And I thought PBS was telling me the truth. The problem was that as I grow and older and just a little bit wiser, right around the time of college, I started just thinking, and I'm looking at the claims of science, and like, this doesn't make sense. This does not make sense scientifically. And so I had to go back to my roots and say, okay, what does make sense? And so this morning, as I said, we're going to use some clips. So I hope you guys don't mind the use of video clips this morning, because this morning is full of video clips. Because what I'm trying to get at is that already you can see on the screen, there is out in the world this idea that we're going to take something that is so prevalent in the mind of someone who is young and already get it into their minds. We want to get that doubt, that seed in there, and we want to preach our theology. It's not Lutheran theology in what's on TV. It's something different. So today, just we'll see where this goes, okay? That's all I know. All right, so this is a video clip of one of the main guys here saying that science is a fact, like the air you breathe, all right? And so what he's trying to say is, if you believe in anything else, there's something wrong with you, all right? And so interesting enough is, here is a TV show. Anyone watch this TV show? Anyone want to admit it in here? This show defined, I remember it being on when I was in college. I don't remember this clip. I just found this by mistake. And so when I see this clip, it's interesting that this guy is a scientist. He digs up bones and then he talks about them. And this episode, he was trying to tell everyone in the room that if you don't believe in evolution And this is evolution that comes from Darwin. And when I back it up, what I mean is Darwinian evolution, it's the Big Bang. And so when we take a look at that, the Big Bang, the theology of Darwin, is that life is a result of random, unguided processes. All of a sudden, something just happened. The problem I have with this is in order for life, just the small, if you look in a microscope, the smallest thing that is the one-cell organism, in order for it to come into existence, there is too much that have had to happen in order for it to come into existence. So for science to say that things can randomly come into life, it mathematically, scientifically speaking, it's impossible. There's a 0% chance. 0% chance. How many of you, if you're going to invest in a bank and the bank's going to give you 0%, how many of you are going to invest in that bank? Anybody? Anybody? And so what we take a look at here is that with a 0% probability of it happening, can the theology of Darwin be scientifically stated and proven? No, it cannot. And so we take a look at, anyone ever believe in natural selection? Does anyone believe in natural selection? Natural selection is the process whereby organisms better adapted to their environment tend to survive and produce more offspring. Do you guys understand that? Do we believe in that? You better believe it. This is the premise of microbiology, or microevolution. And so all the way up, okay, for all you, let's look at the defensive line and offensive line of the Minnesota Vikings. Do you want to have someone blocking for you that's 145 pounds or someone who is 300 pounds? So we would say natural selection, yeah, we want to take the biggest guys and put them on the field. Unless you want to lose all your games and have the number one pick next year. But we understand that. That's right. And so do you ever notice that the people in Hollywood usually get their first pick of women? And the cutest guys? The cutest girls? Natural selection, is that's what they're saying. You ever see that men tend to fight over women? You ever see that? You ever see that men try to buy the newest car, and then they go right in front of the school and rev it up just to see what lady would actually look, hey, check me out here? That's natural selection, all right? Natural selection is fine. It's fine when you say in a species that the strongest will try to pass along the greatest genetics. We do the same thing. All right, and so when we take a look at natural selection, because this is important when we talk at the end, natural selection is the idea that the strongest survive. The strongest survive. If the strongest do not pass along their genetic information to the next generation, what happens is, supposedly, is that you'll wipe out entire species. No problem with that. The problem being is that when you take this to the limit of what Darwinian evolution, the modern Darwinian evolutionists will say, I have a huge problem with that because the theology that goes behind it is terrible. All right? And so I just want to take a look at this clip, and hopefully this works. I'm saying this is going to work, but you know, I know some guy right now does not want you guys to hear this. All right, so let's look at this.
We've collected fossils from all over the world that actually show the evolution of different species, okay? I mean, you can literally see them evolving through time.
All right, so he makes it funny, he makes it believable, and what he's talking about is this, is a geological record that we supposedly have. And if you look at that, it's supposed to start out with the simplest stuff at the very bottom, and it's supposed to show that we have evolved from slime. Did you know that? You are just slime. You just evolved. And this is the idea that you have come from a monkey, and some monkey became smarter than the other monkeys. And so the problem I have with this is not true. Is this an actual picture of what you see? No. The problem I have with this is someone painted this. This is a picture of what someone showed you. If I go back to that last video in your mind, he said that you can actually see things evolving. And so the problem I have with that is he's trying to say there's what's called transitional fossils in between. What the geological record shows is not a line of progression. What you see is that you see fully formed animals before you see the transitional fossils. So even this evidence scientifically is not proven. And what we do is we take our young kids, we send them to high school, we send them away to college, and what do you get to learn? Not how to use your brain, but this is what you learn.
Before you even start, I'm not denying evolution, okay? I'm just saying that it's one of the possibilities.
It's the only possibility, Phoebe.
That's what you get your kids. For all that money that you spend to send away to college, this is what you're going to get. Is that the only thing that is true in life is Darwinian evolution. That you came from a monkey. That you came from nothing. That you have no purpose. I have a big problem with that. You see, because the science doesn't even back that up. And if you don't dig, you will not find out the truth. And so I stumbled on this video. Interesting enough is this was something that was huge. This was groundbreaking. I want you to take a look at this. If you would increase the volume for me just a little bit, please take a look at this. They were digging in Montana because nothing happens in Montana, right? So they were out digging, and a lady found a T-Rex bone, and it cracked open. And what she found inside has revolutionized how we think about dinosaurs.
What happened next happened by mistake. Mary put some fragments of the bone in acid to dissolve away the outermost layer of mineral. But the acid worked too fast, and all the mineral dissolved away. Being a fossil, there should have been nothing left, but there was, and it was elastic, like living tissue.
This is the piece.
No.
She showed us video she took under the microscope.
That's really what happened?
Yes.
That's the dinosaur bone?
Without mineral now. That's what was left.
It looked like the soft tissue she would have expected to find if it had been modern bone.
Did you guys catch that? What she would expect from a modern bone. This T-Rex bone is purported to be 68 million years old, and it acts like a modern bone. The problem I have with that is if the science doesn't back it up, you can't use that as your scientific theory here. So we got to go back, scratch everything we know, and say, how can a T-Rex bone survive all these years? The problem is they haven't come up with any answers. And it's interesting, that same woman, she does not believe in God whatsoever. Whatsoever. She believes in evolution to this day. All she did was report what she had. She's reported her findings. She got, in terms of Christianity, she got crucified. She got crucified. She was purported, oh, you're just trying to bring God into it. All she did was show her findings. So if she's going to be criticized for writing papers to say this is just what we found, what other information do you think has not been released? If scientists are going to be scrutinized by their own peers for what they find. But interesting enough is here's what she found inside. Bone marrow, tendon, all this great stuff was found in here. And it's like you could come up and press, like, I'm not going to, because this T-Rex might do something to me. But when you touch it, it's just as squishy as his skin it is. And you saw it on the screen there, but it's just like this. And we say, well, you know, what else could it be? And so you know what they started doing? They started doing tests on other what we call fossils. And so under the microscope, you see this. You see skin cells. So if you take a look at what's in there, like the skin right by your fingernails, and even your fingernails itself, there's different sets of skin that you have. And under the microscope, it looks someone like this. And you say, oh, wow, that looks very cute. My picture is so glamorous, right? I want to put it in a magazine. Well, this was put in a magazine. You know why? Because they got it from this. This is a fish supposedly the same age as a T-Rex, 65 to 68 million years. And they found original skin cells on this fish. This doesn't even last 10 to 12,000 years, and they're saying this is 68 million years. The science does not back up what we see. And you're saying, well, you know, that's only a couple things. All right, so right here, it's a hadrosaur. All right, another picture of him. All right, just right there. They found original stuff, just like in the T-Rex. They found it in this guy. And the coolest thing that I found out doing this research is this is my favorite dinosaur growing up, mainly because of Transformers. You remember stuff when you're this age. They're finding original material on the horns of that Triceratops. All they're doing is testing what we have, and they're finding original material that does not last millions of years. It cannot. And so we have to say, through science, what can be the possibilities? And so interesting enough, as we go back to the geological framework, and this is something else I learned doing the research. Okay, so you see right around the Cretaceous, you see the dinosaurs, you see that nice-looking bird that was supposed to. Look deeper, all the way to the Precambrian. We have found original material and something that's supposed to date from 1 billion years ago. We have found original material. 0% chance of it happening through science, through mathematics. And why do we send our kids away to college for them to indoctrinated that there's a 0% chance, but we want you to believe it because it's the only theory that works. 0% chance. And we tell our kids it's the only way you can think. 0%. And interesting enough, I want to back that up. Remember, the strongest survive. The strongest survive. So let's take everything else. We talked about dinosaurs just a little bit. Come to cow information. We talk about it for almost 4 hours. This is 20 minutes, if I don't hurry. All right, so this is a couple minutes. We talk about this a lot, but this is what we don't talk about. Because this is where the theology takes you. If you're going to say that Darwinian evolution is the only way to look at life. Because the starting point is not where it should be. And interesting enough, if the strongest survive, you think of you and me in here. Who's the strongest person in here? Oh, now we have to talk about it. Who's the strongest in here? If we didn't have our faith, if we're just monkeys, who would make it out of here alive? You ever think about that? Who would survive? So macro, which is called the modern Darwinian evolution, that there is no right and wrong. We talked about that last week, where there is no right and wrong. So your truth and my truth are the same. The problem is they're competing. Which one's true? Yes, it can't be. You see, the problem I have with that is if there's no reason for morality to exist, because we just evolved. If we just evolved and there's no right and no wrong, then only the fittest will survive. It's survival of the fittest. And I have a real problem with that, personally. Because there's three men since around 1930, 1940, who have taken up Darwin's this theory. And this man did more damage to a continent than will ever probably ever be done. You talk about Stalin, Hitler, and Mao. Those three leaders murdered more people in the name of Darwinian evolution than any other time in the world combined. Combined. So you take a look at where the theology leads you. Adolf Hitler looked at different races and say, they're holding us back from what we really could do. We just need to kill them off. That's where Darwinian evolution, which is still being practiced even in this country today, leads us. When we take a look and say, this race is holding us back, we need to get rid of them. It's still practiced today. And I have a real problem with that. Because when you take a look and you turn on the TV, you turn on the TV, and the last time this happened, there's a mass shooting in Texas and a mass shooting in, was it Ohio? The same day. And I say, you know what? If we're just matter that the stronger survive, that the people who do mass shootings, they say that we have to eradicate people in order to get the next generation to rise above. What about their truth? If truth is all relative, if their truth is just as valid as my truth, then I have a small problem with that if you believe that murder is the way in which we get our generations to evolve into greater beings. You see where Darwinian evolution breaks down? Is that theft, rape, and murder are all okay if you believe that what your cause is greater than what the people really need. That's where Darwinian evolution leads you. And so I have a problem when you say you can mass murder people and you can say, I do it in the name of science. Because that's exactly where Darwinian evolution leads you. And that's contrary to everything I believe. And so I look at Isaiah. If you would read this with me. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, he is God. Who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I believe that Scripture states very boldly that things didn't evolve over time, that God put his stamp saying, I created things. I did this by my own hand, by my words. In Isaiah chapter 48, if you would read this with me. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, whom I called, I am he. I am the first, and I am the last. My hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand forth together. I believe God is calling us to a faith in which we can see what he has created. And I believe he put his stamp from John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God, in his divine knowledge, he created everything to exist, and he called it good. That's why I must reject a theology that says that everyone is worthless. I believe in the scripture we found, God says that because God has made us, that God has formed us, that God made us the pinnacle of his creation and put a name on us. I believe what you found in scripture is a self-worth that comes from God himself. And you don't have to look for science to tell you that you're worth something. You don't need to look at a bank account to say, hey, I'm worth something. You don't have to look and see that your deeds, that what you have done, that what you have discovered makes you great. You don't need a Nobel Peace Prize to understand that the Prince of Peace has called you something even greater. And so today, I would say, in everything that we learn, God has a purpose for each one of us, and there's a reason why we were made. We were made to glorify God. I believe he has wrapped us in this amazing thing called DNA that he has created, and in our DNA, he has put an amazing splendor within us. And I believe God has made us amazing. That when we reach into science, we see that it strengthens our faith. And we see what God has done. And my response is glorifying God. Even though I fall, even though I each and every day, I'm just wondering, wow, that was amazing. That was stupid. Wow, what? Oh, my goodness. And I get mad. Then I look to the cross and say, in all your stupidity, that's why the Lord God came to this earth to give his life for you, because you couldn't. You cannot live out that life. See in the works that I have made, in what I have done for you, that I came to this planet to show you my hands and feet, to allow you to take your hand and put it into my side for you to believe that he is God. Let's pray. Lord God, today, even though we haven't had much time, Lord God, plant that seed in us that science and faith do not contradict, that actually, Lord God, you have shown us what you have created. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of science. Lord God, we thank you for the scientists who are bold to make what they have seen under a microscope revealed to the rest of the world, that we can say, wow, our God reigns. Be with us, Lord, that, Lord God, there are going to be doubts planted inside our minds. Satan is going to try to get us away from faith. Be with us, Lord, in everything. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.